Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Ayin Ches. We are Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. Here, as we are in the beginning of the seventh parak of the Masechta, we are discussing a wall separating two chatzeros. A wall separating two chatzeros divides the two chatzeros. Each chatzer on their own can make their own Eruv. Each chatzer is going to be occupied by more than one person. Doesn't have to be, but in terms of an Eruv discussion, so each of the chatzeros is going to be occupied by more than one person. And so each of the chatzeros, in and of themselves, can go ahead and create their own eruv and allow carrying within their own chatzer. On the other hand, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, once there is a portal, a pesach, that allows access from one chatzer to another chatzer, so now we have an option. And the option is that they can either do the individual chatzeros like the individual eruv like we just described, or they could do a joint eruv. If the Pesach is halachically a Pesach, so then the option of a joint Erev is allowed. And then finally, if there is no Pesach between the two Chatzeros, i.e. it's a Pirtza, it's a breach that exists between the two, meaning that the breach in the wall exceeds more than 10 Amos, so under those circumstances we no longer view it as two Chatzeros, but rather we view it as all one Chatzer. It's not even an option. At that point in time, the only kind of Erev that you can make is only going to be a joint Erev. In the course of this parak, we've been discussing now since the beginning of the parak, just a couple days ago. So we've been discussing the various ways in which a portal can be created from one chatzir into another chatzir. So in other words, within this wall, so what is going to establish to be a Pesach? So in the first mission, in the first circuit, what we discussed was a chalon. If I have a window, and the window doesn't have to be particularly big, the Mishnah 9 Vav Amud Aleph said that the window, as long as it's 4x4 tfachim, so that's enough in order to create a Pesach. And it has to be within 10 tfachim of the ground. Not the whole window, as we already clarified, just part of the window. But in other words, 4x4 tfachim and within 10 tfachim of the ground. And already that's going to create a Pesach that will allow an option of making a joint Erev between the two chatzeros. Okay, we discussed yesterday's daf extensively the idea that if I have a wall separating the two chatzeros, and there's an area on top of the wall, there's width to the wall. So how do we view the area on top of the wall? That was yesterday's discussion. But as we concluded yesterday's Gemara, so we talked about various other ways of creating a Pesach between two chatzeros. And yesterday, if you recall, you remember, so we talked about overturning a bucket, cementing the bucket into the ground. We talked about platforms on top of platforms. We talked about ladders. So there was much discussion yesterday regarding how exactly to take the two chatzeros and establish a Pesach that halachically is going to be valid, and the validity of that Pesach will allow the two chatzeros to make one joint Erev. That is all a quick summary of that which we've been discussing now, and the Gemara is going to continue along those lines. As per most days here in Erevin, so picture books are helpful. Today they're more than helpful. It's almost like a necessary part. So if you have anything that shows you pictures of today's daf, it would be extraordinarily helpful in terms of navigating the daf. I'll give credit to the Masifta, the Gemaras. The Masifta Gemaras, the pictures there are beautiful, but there are many other ways in order to visualize the various scenes that in which we're going to see. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. And Va'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha Sulam. So we're going to be discussing a ladder. As I pointed out, we're 9 Zayin Amud Beis, where a couple lines on the bottom, the Amud, and this is right where we left off yesterday. As I pointed out yesterday, the word Sulam means a ladder, obviously, but it also could mean steps. And in the context of our Gemara over here, this particular Gemara, it seems much more like they are ascending steps than they are an actual ladder. But we're going to vacillate back and forth in terms of a Sulam being just a classic ladder as we normally describe it, or as being some sort of steps going up ascending. Anyway, so over here it sounds like steps, and you'll see why in a moment. It's pretty clear. So aside from the fact that the picture shows steps, but you'll see from the Gemara, it's pretty clear that we're talking about steps. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravu Sulam Sheshlivo Sav Parachos. Let's say the steps are suspended in the air. So that means to say that there are step stools, but they basically, each step now is connected. Obviously, there's a frame connecting them, but outside of the frame connecting them, the steps are basically suspended in the air. And so what you're doing now is that you are basically walking from one platform to another platform. So im yesh b'shliva tachtona arba memait, and inami ein b'shliva tachtona arba v'yesh b'shliva al yon arba v'ein bein zel ezer shlosha memait. So here we are now in terms of reduction. Miut, that's the term that we described, that we used extensively yesterday. We're going to continue along those terms. And that is basically when I have a platform. And when the platform goes ahead and reduces the height of the wall, meaning the wall height is 10 tefachim from the ground. It has to be, otherwise it's not a wall. And now what I do is I have a platform. So as we discussed yesterday, the platform has to be 4 tefachim. Okay, sounds like from Rashi it has to be 4 by 4 tefachim, but regardless, whatever the case is, it has to be a base minimum of 4 tefachim. That platform over there now goes ahead and allows you basically to step up onto the platform. But as we pointed out yesterday, the platform cannot be suspended in the air. The platform has to be grounded. So our ladder over here, again, it's really stairs going and ascending upwards. So if even if the bottom step is as long as it has the minimum base of 4x4, and it's obviously higher than the ground, so that's going to be a reduction, that's going to be a miut. Because now as you're standing on the platform, the height from where you're standing to the top of the wall is going to be less than 10 tefachim, and that's going to be a miut. That's going to be a perfectly legitimate reduction, so that in that area, you now have a Pesach allowing access from one to the other, and giving the two chaseris the option to unify. Alternatively, says Rav Nachman, in the name of Rava Baravua, let's say the steps themselves, the lower steps themselves, are not 4x4. Only the top step is going to be the necessary area of 4x4. But the steps below it are within 3 tefachim. So, like we discussed yesterday, and we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday, so that's also going to be fine, because your top platform now is halachically acceptable. It's 4x4. And because those steps below it are within 3 tefachim of the top platform, so basically now what I have, based on the principle of lavud, is that the top platform is in fact connected to the ground through the principle of lavud. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. The Gemara now quotes the second statement, as we are on the top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Ziv, or Ziz, Hayotzim and Akostel. So if I have a platform extended from the wall, Arba al Arba, so the platform is going to be 4x4. So Vihiniach Alav. Now, before we get to the next detail in the Gemara, so as we pointed out in yesterday's Gemara, so if I have a platform, even though the platform is the requisite 4x4, but if it's just hanging in the air, so halachically it's not going to be a reduction in the wall. That's not a miut. So over here, what allows for it to be a reduction is the fact that it has a ladder. Vihiniach Alav Sulam. And what we did is that you rested a ladder alongside it, meaning against it, really, is a better preposition. So then, kol shehu miyato, even if the ladder is any amount, meaning the ladder itself is not going to represent your miyut. The ladder of 4 tefachim width, as we discussed yesterday, and we're going to continue discussing today, so that's going to be significant in terms of reduction. But our ladder over here is less than 4 tefachim wide. Meanwhile, however, the ladder allows you ascent to get to the platform. So basically now what we have is that we have a platform that's grounded. And of course, the ladder itself, the rungs of the ladder themselves has to be within 3 tefachim, one of another, in order to be able to create connection between the platform and the ground below. So what you have under those circumstances is that you have a miut. The Gemara says that one detail regarding this case of the platform and the ladder is that the ladder has to be leaning against the platform. Aval usve behade, but let's say the ladder is leaning alongside the platform. And again, if you have a picture over here, extraordinarily helpful just in terms of visualization. So then arvuche arvache, all it does is it just basically widens the area, but that's insufficient. Meaning, in order for the platform to be a platform, the platform has to be grounded. In order for the platform to be grounded, so the ladder has to be leaning against the platform, and the rungs of the ladder now have to basically connect you down to the ground. So you don't have that over here. Over here, the ladder is alongside the platform, so leaving the platform now basically suspended in air, a suspended platform in air is not going to allow for the process of miut, of reduction of the height of the wall. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Baravua. Here we go with the third statement, said over in the name of Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav Baravua, Kosel, Tisha Atzar, Tzarech Ziz Achel Atira. So let's say the height of the wall is 19 tefachim, and now I want to create a reduction. So you can do a reduction in just one platform. And what you're going to do, the Gemara over here doesn't go through the details, but what you're going to do is that you're going to put that platform right at the midpoint. In other words, 19 tefachim high, so the midpoint is going to be 9.5 tefachim. So now, when you do that, so you're now going to have an area below the platform, and by the way, we'll also, of course, add that you're going to need a ladder in order to make sure that the platform is grounded to the ground. Now, but now what you're going to do is that the platform is less than 10 tefachim from the ground, and on top of that, it's also going to be less than 10 tefachim from the top of the wall, and so therefore you have now a reduction. However, kosel esrim, but once the wall is 20 tefachim high, tzarech shnei zuzim latiro. So there's no other way to do it. You're going to need two platforms, because one platform is just simply not going to be enough. In other words, once one platform is going to be placed, once it's going to be placed 10 tefachim from the ground, so that already is too high from the ground, meaning that that doesn't create reduction from the area below it. On top of that, it's also 10 tefachim now from the top. That's also no good. So the only way now it's going to work is that if you're going to have two platforms, each being within 10 tefachim of the one below it, and then obviously the second platform is going to be within 10 tefachim of the top. The first platform is going to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. So good, under those circumstances, it's going to work. With the Gemara adding one more detail, Amar Rav Chista, who she'emidan zesh lo keneged zeh. The platforms cannot be one directly underneath the other. Under those circumstances, it doesn't work. Now, in yesterday's daf, perhaps you recall, so we had platforms one below the other. Yes, that's true, but in yesterday's daf, we were talking about where the platforms were within three tefachim, one below the other. The purpose of the lower platform is to basically ground the upper platform. Over here, the second platform, the first and second platforms are not there to ground one next to the other. It's just in order to create miyut. In other words, the reduction is only a reduction for anything less than 10 tefachim. You can't reduce at 10 tefachim. So therefore, each of the platforms is serving as a reduction for less than 10 tefachim. How are we connecting it down to the ground? So that, by definition, is going to be a ladder. One ladder takes you up to the first platform, and then a second ladder is going to go from the first platform up to the second platform. Well, the only way that's going to work is only if these two platforms are not directly one below the other. They have to basically be offset, so you can have a ladder going up to the first platform, and from the first platform to the second platform, you're going to have a second ladder. Continuing in the Gemara. I'm Rav Huna. Now, the Gemara here is going to take a little bit of a break from our discussion of miut, of reduction. But the truth of the matter is that the reason why the Gemara now is going to go off on somewhat of a different topic, it's not really totally different, but the reason why it's going to do so is because we're within this discussion now of miut, of reduction. Meaning a wall 10 tefachim high is dividing. And once we could take the height of the wall and reduce it, and we went over now already, right? Yesterday we went over five different ways of reduction. This morning we already went over now a couple of other ways of reduction. But the idea is that once you put something in place that reduces the height of the wall, either by influencing the wall, which is what we discussed in yesterday's daf, or by putting some sort of ledger platform as we discussed in today's daf. So that's going to be a miut, that's going to be a reduction. So in this topic of reduction, the Gemara is now going to take the idea of reduction and move it over to another area, again, somewhat related, but not the same. I'm Rav Huna. I'm in Rishus Rabim Gavoa Sara Virachav Arba'a. So I have a pillar, and it's in the Rishus Rabim, and the pillar is 10 tefachim high, and 4x4 in terms of an area. So as we've already discussed numerous times, so now this pillar is halachically a Rishus HaYachid. In other words, it's got the base minimum dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid, and so therefore, by transferring from the Rishus HaRabim to the top of the pillar, so one would be violating the Malach HaVotzah, he'd be moving something from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and the opposite, of course, would be true as well. With all that stated, the Gemara now discusses the following. V'na'at bo yaseid kol shehu, Mi ato. Now, let's say on the top of the pillar, what you do is you put in a nail, a peg, in other words, something that's protruding up. So what you've now done is you have performed miut. Now, interesting over here, miut over here is going to be serving as a significant leniency, meaning that the area of this pillar is exactly 10 tefachim high and 4x4 in terms of area, allowing it now to be defined as a Rishus HaYachid. And thereby, if one were to transfer from Rishus HaRabim to the top of the area, one would violate Hotzah, as we already pointed out. But if now what I've done is that I put a peg somewhere on the top of this pillar, and the peg now is jutting out, so basically what I've done now is I've taken the area on the top of the pillar, 4x4, I've reduced it. Reduced it by what? By whatever the thickness of that peg is. If that peg is whatever thickness it is going to be now a reduction of the top area 4x4, and therefore taking away its status of being a Rishus HaYachid. Now, it sounds like a point which is debatable. In fact, the Gemara is about to debate it. But in the meantime, however, now you understand the connection between our Gemara in the previous Gemara, we were talking about reducing height. Over here, we're talking about reducing area. Now, previously, we were talking about reducing height in order to look at the two chaseros as being connected. Over here, we're talking about reducing area to remove the status of a Rishos Yachid from the pillar. Anyway, this is the opinion of Rav Huna. So, the Gemara now is going to be debating this very issue. So, Amar Avada Barava Shlosha. I'm sorry, Uva Gavo Shlosha. Rav Avada Barava basically is in agreement with Rav Huna that the peg on the top of this pillar is going to reduce its area and thereby remove its status of being Rishos Yachid, but only under the circumstances where the peg itself is higher than 3 tefachim. If the peg is less than 3 tefachim, so then basically Lava tells us that the peg is really part of the pillar, and so therefore it doesn't reduce it. So Abai and Rava say no, that even if the peg is less than 3 tefachim, it's still going to reduce the area. My time, and the reason being is Lamishtamishlang, because people don't use it. Meaning once you have created a disturbance in the even top of the pillar, so basically what you've now done is that you no longer have an area, a simple straightforward area 4x4 in which you can work within. Meaning once you have now a peg anywhere situated on the top, and even according to Abai and Rava, and even if it's less than 3 tefachim, so now that's going to disturb the work area, and so therefore it's going to be a reduction of the area being 4x4. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Shekavo Shlosha, and Rav Ashi says, what do you mean? I'll go in the other direction. Even if it's above 3 tefachim, I'm still going to say that it's not going to create a disturbance. My time up, Efshar Detali Beimide. What do you mean? The peg on the top of the pillar, it has utility. Let's say you want to hang your coat. So what you'll do is you hang your coat on the peg, which is on the pillar. So according to Rav Ashi, he actually goes in the other direction. A peg on the top of the pillar is not going to remove the status of the Rishos Yachid. In fact, if anything, maybe just an enhancement. Well, you can't get more Rishos Yachid. But the point is that the peg on the top of the pillar is not going to be removing its status. And as a result of that, it's going to still maintain the status of being a Rishos Yachid. So over here, the Gemara really goes from one end to the other in terms of what would happen if I have a pillar exactly the dimensions of Rishos Yachid, 4x4 in area, 10 tefachim high, and then what I do is I put a peg on the top. And we see now in the Gemara a range of positions in terms of whether or not miut has been accomplished, whether you've reduced its size, thereby removing its status of Rishos Yachid, or maybe not. And the variable, the possible variable of whether the peg is above 3 tefachim, below 3 tefachim, good. Amalei Rav Acha, Breda Rav Le Rav Ashi, Malu Kula B'Yaseidos, Mahu. So perhaps you never thought that we would be discussing a bed of nails within the Gemara. And here we are discussing a bed of nails. And now the Gemara wants to know, is that within this position of Rav Ashi, who says that even if it's above 3 tefachim, it has utility. So let's say that the entire area on the top of our pillar is going to be made up of nails, and nails or pegs, whatever the case is. So what would be the status then as well? Would there be miut or would there not be miut? So Amale Lo Shmiela Hada Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, look, I'm going to cite something that we've said already a number of times in Masechta Shabbos, and we get to see it again here in Erevin as well, and that's a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which is Bor V'chul Yaso Mitzarfen La'Sara. So let's say I have a pit, and the pit together with the rim around the pit makes 4 10 tefachim. So again, in order to have a Rishos Yachid, as we've already established, it has to be a height of 10 tefachim, and it's got to be a width of 4x4 tefachim. Good. What we did is that we dug into the ground, and we only dug 5 tefachim into the ground. But then what we did with the dirt, after digging up, is that basically we created the dirt as a rim around the hole, so that the total height, meaning if I add the whole 5 tefachim and the rim around it, and let's say that we piled the dirt around 5 tefachim high, so now what I have is 10 tefachim, I have a total of 10 tefachim in height. Good. And that now is going to create one line for our Rishos HaYachid, but we need another line. In other words, we need the vertical, but we also need the horizontal, and it's got to be 4x4. What we also will see together, although it's not, the Gemara doesn't make this point super clear, but Rashi does, but we're also going to see together is that not only is the rim of dirt going to help in terms of the height, but it's also going to help in terms of the area as well. meaning to say that if I measure from the exterior of one edge of the dirt to the exterior of the other edge of the dirt, and it measures 4 by 4 tfachim, so then what we have now is a reshus yachid. Now, what we are looking at the top is that we're not looking at the top area as flat top. In fact, it is a ring of dirt and then a hole below. And yet, the halacha basically allows me to say that the ring around plus the hole below is going to add up in order to create the area. So you see over here that even though we have an uneven top, nevertheless, it allows us to define it as a reshus yachid. So the Gemara says, so over here as well. So over here I've got peg. I got the entire pillar topped with pegs. But the truth of the matter is that even though it's uneven, nevertheless, we can look at the top area as a total area 4x4. It's fachim defining as a reshus yachid. And the Gemara expresses this and explains this even better. Amai. The Gemara says, why should that be? Halam ishtamishle. The Gemara says, I don't understand. You don't have a flat top over here. Elamai islach lameimar demanach bei umishtamish. Hachanami demanach midi umishtamish. So the Gemara says, good. So the reason why it works in the case of Rav Yochanan and the pit and the ring of dirt that's surrounding the pit is because what we know you could do now is that you could put a flat board on top of it and use the top area. In other words, the area will give you before by four, even though you're going to have to put a board on top of it, but that's fine. Same thing over here as it relates to the pillar with the pegs on top of it. So the pegs on top of it, so yes, it's true. It's going to make for an uncomfortable area, but just simply put a board on top, right? Just as a modern analogy, no different than our attic. So our attic, so basically, it's a series of 2x4s. And the drywall is not going to support your weight. I'm happy to tell you that I don't know this based on personal experience, but I've heard stories. So anyway, and the drywall is not going to hold your weight. So but nevertheless, so what do people do? So what people do is they take plywood and they put it on top of the frame. They put it on top of the 2x4s, and now you could utilize that area. So too over here says the Gemara that if I have an area in total of 4x4, and even though the area is not a flat area, and even though I'm going to have to put a board on top in order to make usage of it, that's fine. That would be just as well. Okay, so the Gemara went off slightly on a tangent. Only as it related to the idea of miut. We are back in the Gemara now. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. It is a little bit less than halfway down on the Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. The Gemara continues. Asara, Kosa Asara. Let's say the wall is 10 tfachim high. It's Sarich Sulam Arba'a Asar Lehatiro. So I need a ladder that's 14 tfachim in order to be matir. Meaning, Shitas Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is that a ladder is going to be creating a Pesach, but the ladder has to be put at an angle, meaning a ladder cannot just simply go vertically against the wall. And the simple reason why is because a vertical ladder is very hard to ascend. And in order for us to qualify this and call this a Pesach, so it has to be easier access. So therefore, the ladder has to be at an angle. So what's the angle going to be? So there is a challenging Rashi, right? Just yesterday we talked about, not yesterday, 2 days ago, we talked about challenging math. The Gemara 9 Vav Amud Beis gave us some challenging math in terms of the relationship between a square and a circle in terms of its perimeter. So Rashi provides also slightly challenging math, although the truth of the matter is hopefully what I'm going to be able to explain is that the Rashi's math is not really that difficult. First of all, let's just go over the Rashi. The Rashi writes over here that in terms of our 14 tefach ladder, so basically what we're doing is that we're taking the base of the ladder and we're putting it at a distance of 4 tefachim from the wall. And of course, the wall is 10 tefachim high. So therefore, if the ladder now is 4 tefachim away, so the ladder is going to make it now to the top of the wall. And that's why the ladder has to be a total of 14 tefachim. Good, that's Rashi. Hopefully everyone realized at this point in time, that's imprecise. And Tosfos points this out, by the way. This is not a new discovery within Rashi. So it's imprecise because obviously when looking at the hypotenuse, if the sides of the triangle are going to be 10 and 14, if the sides of the triangle are going to be 10 and 4, so the hypotenuse is not going to be 14. You know what that is? It's basically, it's Pythagorean theorem without the squared. So it's A plus B equals C. But it's almost true. It's just you need to square every one of the variables. So it's a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Okay, so So it's slightly imprecise. And just in terms of defending Rashi, and what I'm about to say is, again, not new. Tosfos already says this within Rashi. What you could just simply say within Rashi is that Rashi over here is not doing the math for us, meaning Rashi is not giving us the hypotenuse. Rashi just simply saying that if you're going to put the ladder a 4 tefachim away from the wall and you need the ladder to go up 10 tefachim against the wall, so then the ladder has to be whatever the ladder is. The number 14 over here is just giving us the sides of the triangle. It's not really giving us the hypotenuse of the triangle. That's what you could say both in understanding the Gemara and in understanding Rashi. Okay, but anyway, so let's go back. I'm going to start again. So I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Shmuel. Kosel Asara, if I have the wall being 10 tefachim high, and Sarach Sulam Arba Asala Atira, so the ladder has to be 14 tefachim in total. And again, as we just got done explaining, not necessarily the hypotenuse, it just simply means the base has to be 4 tefachim away, so that the top of the ladder now gets to the top of the 10 tefachim. So that is Shitas Rav Yudah Mishmol. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Shlosha Sar Umashahu. So even if it's 13 and a Mashahu, meaning that would be fine because it doesn't have to get to the very top of the wall. As long as it's within one tefach of the wall, of the top of the wall, that's deficient. That's considered negligible. Abai Amar. So Abai is of the position. Afilu Acharasar Mashahu. Even if it's 11 and a Mashahu, that would be sufficient as well, meaning that the it would be just as well, it would be just fine if, let's say, you move the legs of the wall 4 tefachim away, right, like the previous positions, and then where's the top going to get you? So the top will get you within 3 tefachim of the top, and love it basically fills in the gap, whatever's left. That is Shitas Abaye. The Gemara provides one more sheet on this issue. Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yishu Amar, Afilu Shiva Umashu. Even 7 and Umashu would be sufficient. And the major change of his position over the previous positions is that he does allow for a vertical ladder, meaning the other positions simply are not favoring a vertical ladder because, as we described, it's just the axis is not going to be that easy. But Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yishu allows for a vertical ladder. And so and on top of that also, using the principle of Lavud in order to fill in the balance. So therefore the ladder only needs to be 7 tefachim and change. Amar Rav Sulam Zakuf Mimayi. So Rav also is of this position that a vertical ladder is going to create a reduction. So the Gemara points out, Gemara, so he has that as a tradition, V'lo yadan mai taima. But he says, but the truth of the matter is that I don't have an explanation. So Amar Shmuel v'lo yada Abba taima da milsa. So Shmuel says Abba, whenever Shmuel makes reference to Rav, so he describes him as Abba, either because that was his proper name or as it was a term of reverence and endearment. Either way, so Shmuel says, I don't understand. Rav doesn't know the reason why. So midi dahave itzaba gabe itzaba. It's no different than a platform on top of a platform. Platform on top of a platform, which we discussed in yesterday's daf. As long as the platforms are within 3 tefachim one or the other, so therefore basically with the top platform now is grounded down to the ground, creating a reduction, allowing now this to be described as a Pesach, so to over here a vertical ladder is no different. It basically is one platform on top of another platform. Obviously the notable difference is that when we have a platform, so that's an area 4x4. Over here when we have a ladder, so it's merely just a rung. So admittedly it's not the same thing, and maybe Rav didn't respond to Shmuel's explanation. Maybe Rav would balk at that explanation, but anyway, that is that's Shmuel's understanding of why the vertical ladder would be fine. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chia, Dekalam Shebebaval, Eina Tzrichim Keva. So let's say what I do is I put a pile of palm trees, palm branches, in front of the wall. So that's going to create a reduction, and Ein Tzrichim Keva, and you don't have to fix them into the ground. So the Gemara says, my time out, with the reason why, is because kveidan kova asan, because they're very heavy. And as a result of the fact that they're so heavy, that they are basically now considered as if they are fixed structures over there, and so therefore nobody's going to move them, and therefore they create the necessary miyut. Rav Yosef Amar, Rabbi Oshia, Rav Yosef says, in the name of Rabbi Oshia, su la Moshe bebavel, im strichem keva, my time out, kveidan kova asan. And the same thing regarding the Babylonian ladders. So they don't need to be fixed into the ground. They don't need to be nailed into the ground. again, they're so heavy, so therefore that creates the fixed structure that would necessitate the miut, the reduction of the wall. So man da amar sulamos kol shekein dekalim. Now the Gemara says if you subscribe to ladders being fixed and structured, so for sure you're going to say the same thing as the wood itself, the palm wood itself. Apparently it's heavier, it's just harder to move. However, man da amar dekalim aval sulamos lo. But if you subscribe to the position of dekalim, you wouldn't necessarily say the same thing regarding sulamos. Apparently the sulamos are more movable than the dekal is. Continuing in the Gemara, Bamine Rav Yosef Mirabba Sulamikan Vikashim Be'emtsa. Okay. In order for a ladder to work as a reduction and as a Pesach, so what the ladder has to do is the ladder has to be in a width of four tvachim. Good. We've established this already a number of times. So the Gemara now is going to test the limits of what exactly we mean when we say four tvachim. So the Gemara now wonders out loud and says, let's say I have basically a composite of two very thin ladders that are running side by side, and they are being connected, but what's connecting them is straw. And as the Gemara will say in just a moment, if you were to put your foot down on the straw, so basically it would not be able to hold your weight and you would just simply fall. So the ladder itself, each of the ladders is not four tefachim, but basically if I take the straw that is connecting the two these two thin ladders together, so then I do have four tefachim. So is that going to now get me to the requisite four tefachim width that I need of a ladder in order for that ladder to be qualified as a Pesach connecting the two chatzeros? Good. So sulam mekan v'sulam mekan v'kashim be'emtsa. So the answer over here very definitive. Mahu so amalei ein kaf haregel ola bahen. Now the Gemara over here assumes that when a person walks up a ladder, so he's putting his foot in the center of the ladder. And over here, the center of the ladder is made up of straw. It's not going to be able to support your weight, so therefore it's no good. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to do is just simply the inverse. So kashamikan, v'sulam, be'emtsa. So let's say I have my very thin ladder that's in the middle, and the ladder itself is not four tefachim wide. So the ladder cannot qualify as my Pesach. However, it is now abutted by straw on either side of it. The straw on either side of it now gets me to the width. So technically now, I do have a ladder that's four tefachim wide on the other hand. The only part of the ladder that really could support my weight is only the center of the ladder. So what would we say over there? So borrowing the svara that the Gemara just gave on the previous question, so we can forecast and successfully over here what the Gemara is going to say under these circumstances. So Mahu, so what will be the halach over there? So Amarlei, Hare Kaf, Arego, Ola, Bahen. So it says, good. So people step in the center of the ladder. The center of the ladder over here is made up of wood, so it would have no problem supporting your weight. Good. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Ayin Chesam and Beis over here, continuing in our discussion of ladders. The Gemara continues with the following question, Chakak Lahashlam Mekosel Bikama. So let's say I have a ladder. Again, the ladder over here is too narrow. It doesn't make up the four tefachim, and what I do is that I'm Chokek, I make now engravements in the wall, basically supplementing to the rungs of the ladder, so that now basically what I have is that of a way of expanding the width of the ladder in order to get me to the requisite shear. So what would we say under those circumstances? So Chokuk Lahashlim, Big Kosel, the picture over here, or the picture that I just painted, is really what Rashi's description is. Tosus gives a different description. If you have the Masifta Gemaras, by the way, you can see he does such a beautiful job in terms of depicting the way Tosus views the ladder plus the engravings. But anyway, so regardless, so we have now a ladder. The ladder is thinner, is narrower than the requisite for tefachim, but I do now have the engravings on the side of the wall. So the Bikama, so the Gemara says, how much do we need in order to get me the rungs necessary so that this ladder is in fact going to be a reduction of the wall and valued as a Pesach. So Amale Basaras over there, it has to be 10 tefachim. Meaning that basically the Chakika has to go all the way to the top. And Amale Chakako Kulo Bikosel. So Bikama Amale Malo Kamasel. So, and now, I'm sorry, just to revisit the previous case of the ladder and the engravings on the side. Even if the wall itself exceeds 10 tefachim, so as long as the engravings follow up the ladder 10 tefachim, that would be sufficient. Now, I'm clarifying that because over here, now we can contrast it to the next case of the Gemara, and that is, what if I just have engravings in the wall itself? Good? And again, if you have a picture over here, it'd be very helpful. But basically now, what I have is a way of ascending the wall, not with any ladder, but just simply with engravings in the wall. It's like wall climbing, if you will. But in other words, it's made easier because there are actual engravings in the wall in order to allow it. So the Gemara says over there, Bikama, how much does it need to be? So Amalei, Malokama, so it's got to go all the way to the top of the wall. And the Gemara wants to know, Mishnah, what's the difference? Meaning, in the case of where I have the ladder, which is narrower than 4 tefachim, and I have the supplemental engravings, so there it only needs to go up 10 tefachim, even if the wall goes higher than that. Meanwhile, when I have just the engravings by themselves, so there the grooves by themselves have to go all the way to the top of the wall. Why? So the Gemara says the difference is very simple. Amalei Hasam, Mistalikle, Hacha Lo Mistalikle. So the Gemara says, look, because when I have my ladder, so the narrow ladder really does facilitate my ability to get to the top. But there's this requirement that it has to be 4 tefachim wide. So the grooves in the wall that are supplementing the ladder, so that's just there to get me to the Pesach, and therefore it has to go 10 tefachim high, but no more than 10 tefachim high. But over here, if all I have are just grooves in the wall, so grooves in the wall are basically allowing me access, but only because I can scale the wall now. But if I can't scale the wall, so then we can't call it a Pesach. So there, the grooves have to go all the way to the top of the wall. Vamine Rav Yosef Meiraba Asa Le'ilan Sulan. So the Gemara now is going to be asking a couple more questions to get to the conclusion of the daf today. Let's say I have a tree, and my tree basically serves as a ladder. In other words, the tree is planted right up against the wall. The branches of the tree are pruned so that basically now my tree can become a makeshift ladder. Now, is this going to work or is this not going to work? And let's remind each other that we had a very similar question earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Lamed Gimel. So we asked a question, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel. So we asked a question that was very similar to this. And basically what we were discussing back then, now some nearly 45 blot ago, is we were discussing the situation of the of putting your Erev Tchum in a tree. Now, the tree, obviously, on Shabbos is going to present a problem because there is an Issa Derabban to be Mishtamish B'ilam. We're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. When's the Erev Tchum going to be Kona? During the Bein HaShemashos period. So can one violate an Issa Derabban during the Bein HaShemashos period in order to acquire an Erev Tchum? So hopefully you recall, Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe is of the opinion that the Chachamim were not Gozer Shvus during the Bein HaShemashos period. Therefore, the Erev Tchum that's put in a tree is going to be Kona for you, because you can be Kona, you can ascend the tree, or at least potentially, you don't have to actually do it, but you could potentially ascend the tree during the Bein HaShemashos period in order to acquire your Tchum. And so, according to Rebbe, that would be fine. According to the Chachamim back then, Chachamim said no, that there is no there's no allowance to violate Isuri Derabbanan during the Bein HaShemashos period. Good. So that cheetahs, that's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So over here, what we seem to have is a very similar debate regarding the tree that's going to be facilitating as a Pesach and therefore combining two chatzeros that are separated by a wall, but the tree allows passage between the two. And so seemingly, we have over here a very related discussion. And the Gemara is basically going to analyze how related the discussion it is. Tibaye l'Rebbe, Tibaye l'Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, really, this question now that we're asking over here is going to both be, according to Rebbe and according to the Chacham, the Gemara explains. Tibaye l'Rebbe, ad kan lo kama Rebbe halsam, kol davar shum mishum shvus lo gazru bei, hani mili ben hashmashos avar kula yom elo. Look, in the case of Eruv et Chum, so Rebbe says that the Erev Tchum over there is going to work because when do you need to be koneh? That's only during Ben Hashmashos. Meaning for the balance of Shabbos, for the remainder of Shabbos, whatever happens to to your Erev Tchum that you set up, doesn't matter. In other words, the purpose of the food is so that it be koneh your makom shvisa. It is koneh your makom shvisa during the Ben Hashmashos period. And that's all you need. However, over here, the reason why our Pesach is going to unite and combine the two chaseros, it's because it's allowing access over the course of the entire Shabbos. But over here, you're not allowed to climb the tree over the course of the entire Shabbos. Even according to Rebbe, the allowance may go only during the Benes Rosh Chodesh period, but not for the remainder of Shabbos. So the question over here, even though Rebbe by Erev Chum is more makel, but over here, the Gemara says, I can make a very good argument in terms of why over here be more machmir. Odilma afilu Rabbanan, and the Gemara says, and we can go the other direction as well. And that is even according to the Chachamim, who over there is machmir, over here it could be makel. And I'll tell you why. Because Pischahu, because over here, what are we looking for? What are we looking to accomplish and achieve? And that is creating a Pesach, creating a way of accessing from one chatzah to another. Do we have it over here in the case of the tree? Absolutely. The tree is allowing access. You climb the tree in order to get from one chatzah to another chatzah. That's fine. You're not allowed to do so on Shabbos. That's a prohibition that's preventing you from doing so. The Gemara has a great description, which the Gemara uses every now and then. So Pischahu and Aryeh hu derivia alaha. And the only thing preventing you from going up on it is that you have a lion. Lion over here meaning it's an Isser. Albeit it's an Isser to Rabbanim, but still an Isser. But that's something external, meaning that doesn't change the definition of what that tree is. That tree right now, the way it's currently constructed, it is a Pesach. So according to the Chachamim, I have a Pesach. And a Pesach would unite the two. I can carry it. That's Isser. That's an external Isser that's preventing me from doing so, but doesn't take away from the definition of Pesach. You see, that's not like the case of Erev Tchum, because in the case of Erev Tchum, what is climbing the tree allowing me to do? It's allowing me to be Kona the Erev Tchum. We're not giving the tree any definition. We just simply want to climb the tree in order to gain access to the Erev Tchum. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. So therefore, that's why in that case over there, the Chachamim would disallow the Erev Tchum to be Kona your Makom Shvisa. On the other hand over here, maybe he would say that it would be okay. Okay. So that is one question which the Gemara entertains. And the Gemara at this point in time has opened the door for maybe Rebbe, who was Makel earlier, being Machmer over here. Maybe the Chachamim being Machmer earlier, being Makel over here. And before the Gemara answers the question, the Gemara is going to ask a related question. Asu la asher asulam. Let's say the tree in question over here that's allowing me access from one courtyard to another courtyard happens to be an Asherah tree. An Asherah tree, Torah tells us very clearly what to do with an Asherah tree. You're supposed to cut it down, destroy it. And an Asherah tree is Asur Ba'ana, third parak of Sukkah, is where most famously, or at least to my recollection, most famously the Asherah tree comes up in terms of using a lula from an Asherah tree, which you're not allowed to do, which we'll discuss in the third parak of Sukkah. But meanwhile, over here, the Asherah tree, can it function as the Pesach? So the Gemara says, Tibaye. So over here, the Gemara says, we're going to ask this question. And we're going to ask this question to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to ask Tibaye, the Rabban, we're going to ask this question to the Chachamim as well. This too takes us back to an earlier Gemara, and this too was also in the early Lamed, Lamed Aleph, I think. So the Gemara over there has a discussion regarding setting up your Erev Tchum in a Beis HaKvaros, where there is an Isser Hana over there. So can I set up my Erev Tchum in a Makom Isser Hana? So the Gemara says it's a machlokas that we learned earlier between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. So even though Rav Yehuda's position is, even though the cemetery is a Makom Isser, and you're not allowed to get Hana, but you can put the Erev Tchum over there. That was Shitas Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim disagreed, and see the Gemara back there for the explanation. But anyway, so Tibayla Rav Yehuda, because Ad Kan Lo Kama Rav Yehuda, Hasam, Mutar Liknos, Bayis, Beisure Hana'a. Over there, what you're doing is you're looking to acquire a Makom Shvisa. Okay, so you have it. The area itself is Asur Ba'ana, but you can acquire a Makom Shvisa over there, according to Rav Yehuda. Right? We suggested earlier that it's a mitzvah, mitzvah slav lahenus ninnu, whatever the case is. But Ela Hasam debasa dekanale erov lo nichale delinter. Now, over there, after you've acquired your Makom Shvisa, so what about the Erev itself? The Erev is just a vehicle in terms of you acquiring your Makom Shvisa, but you don't need the Erev after that. But over here, however, in terms of ascending the tree, you need the tree the entire time. Meaning it's not just a vehicle to create a halachic reality. You need the tree in order to be able to ascend and to climb over from one to another. And this particular tree is Asur Ba'ana. So maybe Rav Yehuda over there was Makel, over here it'd be Machmir. Odilma afilu Rabban, and the Gemara says, and we can even argue in the other direction. Because the Chachamim would say over here, Pischahu. It's a Pesach. And Aryeh Derevia Aleha. And the Gemara now borrows the same expression. And that is the only thing preventing you from climbing this Pesach and using this Pesach is an Isser. But it's an external Isser. And so maybe it doesn't change the definition of what it is. It is a Pesach. It does allow access from one chassid to another. It just happens to be that there's an external Isser. Good, so we have now two questions on the table. One question of the tree that is that's subject to the Isser of Ishtamshus Be'ilan, where we had a machlokus early in the Masechta between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding setting up Yerev Tchum in that tree, whether or not that would work. Rebbe says it would, the Chachamim say it wouldn't. What would they say over here regarding the tree that is being used as a Pesach between two Chatzeros and the tree that's Aser Vahana'ah? So what would Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, who earlier debated, Rav Yehuda being the Meiko and the Chachamim being the Machmir, what would they say over here in our case as well? So Amar Leh, so those are our questions that are open-ended. So the Gemara now has the answers. Rav Yosef asked the question to Rabbah, so this is now Rabbah answering. So Amar Leh, so Rabbah says, Ilan, Ilan Mutter, Asherah Asura. So when it comes to the tree, so that would be Mutter. When it would become the Asherah, it would be Asur. So Maskev la Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, wait one second, Ad Rabba. If I'm going to think this through, I actually will arrive at the opposite conclusion because Ilan, Isser Shabbos Garim Lo. In other words, what's preventing you from climbing the tree? It's an Isser to Shabbos, meaning the Isser that is preventing you from climbing the tree is something which is totally external, totally internal to what we're trying to accomplish. Meaning we're trying to accomplish a unification of these two Chatzeros so that they could make a joint Erev together. Meaning this is a Shabbos discussion. So if the Isser that's preventing you is a Shabbos Isser, so then I can understand how now we have a collision between a Shabbos Isser preventing you from, not trying, but successfully preventing you from having a Shabbos correction, meaning an Erev. However, so the Shabbos Garim Lo, so the Gemara says Nitzer, and so therefore under those circumstances it should be Aser. But Asherah Sheyesu Davar Acher, so Garim Lo. But when it comes to the Asherah tree now, what is the Isser of the Asherah tree has nothing to do with Shabbos. Now, parenthetically, by the way, I'll just add over here. The Asherah tree, aside from it being Aser Banah, it's also a tree, and you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. So why is the Gemara over here assuming that the Asherah tree, the only Isser under discussion is the Isser Asherah and not the Isser of climbing a tree? Okay, it's a wonderful question. It definitely has some suggestions. I'm only raising it right now because it's really an obvious question. But, okay, for the time being, however, I'm just going to finish the daf. Okay, close parentheses. So Asherah, Isser Davar Acher, but Garim Lo. But when it comes to the Asherah, where it's an external Isser, so Lo Nitzer, so there, I could say that, look, the Isser that's preventing you is the Isser Asherah, which is external to Shabbos. And so therefore, maybe the argument of Aryeh Revi Allah, that the lion is preventing you, so maybe that would be a better argument in the case of the Asherah. So Idmar Nami, the Gemara says, in fact, this argument that Rav Chista just provided, so others are going to be in agreement with this thinking of Rav Chista. And that is Kiyasa Ravin. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, Rabbi Elazar, so he quotes Rabbi Elazar, and Amri La, Amar Rabbi Abou, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shi Yisrael Shabbos Garim Lo, Asur, Kol Shi Yisrael Davar Acher Garim Lo Mutter. So exactly this argument where, if the Isser preventing you is an external Isser and has nothing to do with internally Shabbos itself, so then that's fine. So the Asherah tree would be fine. If the Isser is internal, meaning it has to do, the Isser is related and connected to Shabbos, so that now creates a collision with what we're trying to accomplish, which is a Tikkun Shabbos, and so therefore I can understand how now that would prevent me from making the correction. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Masni Achi, Ilan Plukta de Rebbe V'Rabbanan, and Asherah Plukta de Rebbe V'Rabbanan. Sorry, Rebbe Yehuda V'Rabbanan. Now Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, look, what we did when we first opened up these both of these discussions is we said that maybe the position over here of trees and ascending a tree in order to join the two chatzeros, so that would be contingent on the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, and the Asherah would be contingent on the machlokas of Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And what the Gemara did in its first approach is maybe they're separate issues. What Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying is maybe not. Maybe the position of Rebbe who was Mekel earlier would be Mekel over here. Maybe the position of the Chacham who were Machmer earlier would be Machmer over here. And the same thing is true regarding the Asherah. Rebbe Yehuda was Mekel in the case of the Beis HaKvaros, would be Mekel over here. And the Chachamim who was Machmer in the case of the Beis HaKvaros would be Machmer over here. So the Gemara says that it could very well be that the participants of the debate earlier would maintain their same positions over here as well. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to start with the Mishnah, and let's quickly recap. We start off our daf with more depictions of how to be Memayit, how to reduce the height of the wall in order to combine two chaseros that aren't the two opposite sides of the wall. We discussed steps going up, even though the steps themselves are kind of suspended, but as long as the steps are grounded, one of the platforms is 4x4 and the steps are grounded down to the ground, so that is going to create a reduction. Our next case that we dealt with is basically a platform where I have a very narrow ladder that gets me to the platform, but the rungs of the ladder are going to be able to ground me. What if the wall's 20 amos high? So then we're going to need two platforms in order to create a reduction. As long as we discussed miut vis-a-vis the height of the wall, so the Gemara discussed miut vis-a-vis a possibility of reducing a reshus yachid. If I have a base minimum area of a reshus yachid, 10 tefachim high and 4x4, so are pegs on the top going to be a reduction in that? So good, so a discussion amongst the Amorayim. A number of opinions over there, a wide range of positions regarding whether or not pegs are going to actually reduce its area, thereby removing the status of Rishus Yachid. We went back to now basically leaning ladders against the wall in order to create a Pesach. What kind of angle does the ladder need to be in order for the ladder to be considered easily accessible? How high does the ladder need to go up against the wall? And would a ladder flush against the wall be acceptable? All still part of the Amud Aleph of today's Gemara, open for a debate. What if I have a ladder that is that is narrow, and I have twin ladders that each one of them by themselves are narrow, but connected by kashk, but connected by straw? Is that going to be acceptable? The answer is no, because the Gemara's assumption is people put their foot in the center of the ladder. What if we did the opposite? What if I had the narrow ladder in the middle and the straw on the side? So the Gemara says that would be acceptable. What if I have my narrow ladder and I have grooves going along the wall? So the Gemara says that would be fine. The grooves have to make it 10 tefachim up the wall. What if I have just grooves by themselves in the wall? So the Gemara says that's fine, but the grooves have to go all the way to the top of the wall. And finally, our last discussion in today's daf, which is the Amud Beis, is ascending a tree on Shabbos, which is an Isser de Rabbanan, but are we still allowed to view the tree as a Pesach? And a related question is that, let's say the tree is an Asherah tree, which is Asr Ba'anah, so despite the fact that there's an Isra Anah, but can we still look at it as a Pesach? And the Gemara said that we had similar discussions earlier in the Masechta, Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, and the participants of the debate over there may either change their position over here or maintain the position over there. The Amoraim discussed that very issue as well.